David had before he's ever introduced to us as a great warrior, before he's ever introduced to us in any way at all. Do you know where David was found? Do you know his occupation when he was a boy? Well, I know you do. At least I trust that you know that David was a shepherd. And in tonight's lesson and in the discussion of 2 Samuel, I want us to talk a lot about David, really almost a continuation of that lesson this morning, of a man who is a man after God's own heart. And in these early chapters of 2 Samuel, David has a chance again and again to interface with those who are around him. He has a chance to deal with those who have been his enemies, and those who related to those who were his enemies, and those who were his friends and turned against him. And so we have a chance tonight in a very, very practical way to talk about what David was like that will help us be what we need to be like. You know, whenever God was ready to select an individual to be the leader of Israel, because the people wanted a king that could lead them in battle, they got King Saul. You remember the description of Saul, do you not? Head and shoulders above the people. But God chose an individual who was a shepherd to lead his people. And so, let me just read to you from Psalms chapter 78 and verse 70. He also chose David his servant and took him from among the shepherds, sheepfolds. From following the ewes that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. You know, life makes us what we are. And the experiences that we have in life makes us to be hardened against life. Makes us oftentimes to be judgmental. It makes us oftentimes to have a wrong attitude toward other individuals. Well, here's this young boy. And God wanted him to know about the providence of God. And so there's the paw of the bear and the mouth of the lion. And that's a part of who David was. Young people, you may not recognize it. But what is happening in your life right now will be reflected in the kind of a parent you will be. What's happening in your life will be reflected. Whether when you get older, you'll be a happy individual or a bitter, sour, old person that nobody longs to be around. And what's happening in your life right now will determine what kind of person you are when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40 years of age and how you interact with other individuals. And so God, knowing that Israel needed a king after having King Saul to be that evil king that we've just talked about when we looked at 1 Samuel, God was molding and shaping an individual. Well, how did he mold him? Why, he sent him to Harvard. How did he mold him? Why, he sent him to King's School, not King's Academy. How did he mold him? Why, he gave him all of this great abilities in learning all of the battle tactics of the world and how to use individuals and how to use a club to keep everybody in line. Oh no. He went out and he found a shepherd who had spent his life walking around with those ewes that had those young lambs that were there. And so over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, there's that other description of what a shepherd is like. Whenever it says, God will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young. You know what America needs? Do you know what America needs? He found this shepherd, Psalm 78, and he brought him and put him over Israel So he shepherded them with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands. Do you know what every leader needs? Do you know what every person in Washington needs? Do you know what's absent from Washington? Integrity. You and I understand that. You know what's happened, what's missing in the business world again and again? What's happening in America? Integrity. You know what's missing in parents? Integrity. You and I need to understand that a part of who we are needs to be governed by the integrity of our hearts. And the statement said, and the skillfulness of his hands. What kind of skills did he have? Where did he learn all of these skills? When he was out there taking care of these sheep. Whenever there was that young lamb that had fallen, he reached down and picked that lamb up and carried that lamb in his bosom. Because that's what those individuals needed in Israel. And in these stories that we look at tonight, we need to understand that's what we need to be as parents. And that's what we need to be as individuals. And that's what elders in the church need to be. And that's what deacons in the church need to be. They need to look and to see what David was like and how he dealt with those that were around him. Picking them up, embracing them with the tenderness of his heart. I want to ask you something. If you'd done wrong, would you want to go to King Saul or King David? And the answer is obvious. And so here's this sweet psalmist of Israel. In those early chapters, the report comes that Saul has been killed. The message arrives there. In fact, an individual runs up to David and said, I've got Saul's crown. I've got his bracelet off of his hands. And David, your enemy is dead. You know how David dealt with that? David had had that chance twice in his life to kill King Saul. And he would not kill him, as we studied 1 Samuel. He would not kill him because he's the Lord's anointed. Now, you and I know how Saul died. Those verses were read to us early. Wounded with an arrow. He falls on his own sword. And he, having fallen on his own sword, because his armor bearer will not kill him, his life ends. The Philistines come the next day. And they find the body of King Saul and they behead him. They take the armor that he has on him. But guess what? Somebody had already been there ahead of time and taken his crown and taken his jewels. And they took the body of King Saul and nailed it up to the walls at a place called Bethshan. And there are the people in that area of Jabesh-Gilead, and they go over. The Jews go over and take that beheaded body of Saul and of Jonathan and of Saul's sons and his warriors, and give him a decent burial. But here's this man, and he says, I killed Saul. He wanted to die, and so I killed him. Your enemy is dead. When David hears that, he commands that this Amalekite, Saul and the Amalekites, here's still one of them, and he says, kill that man. Kill that man. Why? Because he touched the Lord's anointed. And you know what David does? He falls on the ground and weeps at the death of Saul. You got any enemies? Something bad happens to those who are your enemies. Serves them right. You know, it just that finally there's justice. Finally, God is so good. God has finally brought judgment on all of this. And it's a time of rejoicing. not with a man who's a man after God's own heart. And David weeps over the death of Saul. Well, what's going to happen? There's no king. And so the people of Israel, Judah, appoint David and anoint David to be king. Not in Jerusalem, but in Hebron, because Jerusalem does not exist. And so, who's that second king of Israel? Well, I'm confident we all know the answer to that. But you know how old David was when he became king? 30 years of age. Here is this shepherd boy. And I know to young people, he looks middle-aged. But to those of us who are older, he's still a very immature individual at 30 years of age. And God has entrusted him with the destiny of a nation. David, are you prepared for this? Oh, yes. What prepared you, David? The integrity of my heart. You can trust me. I have integrity. And the skills that I learned as a shepherd are the skills that I need to lead this nation. We mentioned a moment ago that those messengers from Jabesh-Gilead came and took care of the body of Saul. You know what David did? As king, he went to the people of Jabesh-Gilead and pronounced a blessing on them and said, whatever you ever need, ever in your life, you can just ask and we'll give it to you. What had they done? They had given a decent burial to one of David's enemies. Is that what you would have done? The Bible says, we need to give honor to whom honor is due. And the Lord's anointed was King Saul. And the people of Jabesh-Gilead honored that individual who was the Lord's anointed. Well, there's another man that's prominent in the Bible. One of the warriors of Saul, his name is Abner. And Abner sees evidently an opportunity in his life. And so instead of supporting David to be the king, he goes and finds the son of Saul by the name of Ishbosheth. And so those people who were supporters of King Saul become supporters of King Saul's son, Ishbosheth. And Ishbosheth is made to be ruler in the place of King Saul. And so there's this ongoing conflict in 1 Samuel. This ongoing conflict between Joab, David's general, and Abner, who was leader of Saul's army and now the leader of Ishbosheth's army. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 3, I believe it is, it may be the last verse of chapter 2, that said the conflict lasted for a long time. Here's a period of time in the life of David we know almost nothing about. But do you know how much we know about David? Have you ever considered how many chapters in the Bible are devoted to David? There's got to be a reason for that. You know, there are 13 chapters in the Bible devoted to Abraham in the Old Testament. 13 chapters. You probably can find an equal number of chapters devoted to Joseph. Do you know how many chapters are devoted to David in the Bible? The Bible's inspired of God. Would not God put balance in the Bible and put in the Bible things that are important for us to notice? And would not the frequency and how often something is mentioned in the Bible at least be an indication of the fact that God wants to make sure we do not overlook this? 65 chapters in the Bible tell us about King David, or tell us about David? From the time he's anointed until the time of his death, more than 60 chapters tell us about David. Shouldn't that in and of itself say that if he's a man after God's own heart, we need to be people like that who know what David is like and know how he responded in life's situation, and that if we're going to be people after God's own heart, that we take time to do this very thing? And so there's this ongoing conflict. But David becomes greater and greater in the power that he has. And finally, Ishbosheth himself turns against Abner. Makes false accusation concerning Abner in relationship to some sexual immorality in the life of Abner. And Abner forsakes his support of David. David's become great. But Abner turns his back on Ishbosheth. They're leaving out a part of the story. David hears of the death of Abner, and David mourns again and says, a prince has fallen in Israel. Who's this prince, David? The people are amazed and worried about David because he's weeping so much. Why? Because Abner is dead. Who's Abner? Oh, he's the man who turned against you, David. He's the man who put Ishbosheth on the throne. He's your enemy, David. But David saw what he was like and saw the fact that Abner had the ability to turn his life around. And Abner tells Ishbosheth, look, the Lord has said, I'm going to make David to be king, and I've become supportive of David in relationship to this. You see, it's all right to turn your life around. It's all right to make mistakes. And here's a man after God's own heart who sees Abner, who's made a tragic mistake and has brought adversity and war in the life of David all of the time that there is that conflict between the armies of David and the armies of Saul's son, Ishbosheth's army. But when Abner turns his life around, David forgives him and weeps bitterly when he who had been David's enemy dies and is slain. What would you have done? How would you have responded if that individual who had turned themselves against you, gone on the wrong side, raised up an army as it were, told people around them to tear you up and run you down, and did all of these things to you. But when he repents, when that lamb, when that sheep wandered away from the fold, that shepherd went out there and brought him back. That's why David is a man after God's own heart. And brother and sister in Christ, that's exactly where we need to be. What happens to Ishbosheth? Well, there are two Benjamites who come to where Ishbosheth is reigning. Goes to Ishbosheth's room in the whatever palace that he's had, and it was noontime. I'm not sure what the king was doing sleeping in bed at noon. But they walk in and they stab Ishbosheth and they behead Ishbosheth. And they bring the head of Saul's son, Ishbosheth. They bring the head to David as a trophy. Now, what are you going to do? Time of rejoicing. No longer will there be a descendant of Saul. There's only one other son of Saul that we know even survived any of this. His name is Mephibosheth, and he's crippled. David has interfaced with him. We'll talk about that later in the study of 1 Samuel. And now the enemy of Saul, the whole house of Saul, as a king, it's over. Do you know what David does to those men? Do you know what he did? He cut their hands off. Cuts their feet off. And hangs them out in the open so that everybody can watch these enemies die. Why? Because they unjustly killed, as David describes Ish-bosheth, killed a righteous man. I don't know about you, but when I think about David and how he responded in life situation, I marvel at how much I've got to grow. Lord, help me to know what a shepherd is like. When I stand and preach, God, help me to know how a shepherd would preach. When I shepherd my family, God, help me to have that tenderness of heart that a shepherd might have. And the good shepherd, Jesus said, is that individual who lays down his life for the sheep. And so the slide that's on the screen in just a moment is the slide that says, what was David's first occupation before he became king? And the answer is, he was a shepherd. That's not where I'd intended to stop, but maybe it's a good stopping place. I know this. It's a good place for everyone to meditate about attitude toward others. You don't have any enemy in your life comparable to the enemies David had in his life. You don't have anybody in your life who has raised up an army like King Saul did to kill David. You don't have anybody in your life like David had in his life. But the tenderness of heart, the tenderness of heart that David had is the tenderness of heart that every one of us needs to have. Heart of a shepherd. And may we, as we study through 2 Samuel and as we continue this Soldiers of Christ, we need to understand we're not trying to learn a bunch of facts. We simply want to have pegs on which we can hang biblical truths. A 30-year-old man, by the time he's 30 years of age, understands what life is all about and how to interface with everybody in their life, how to interface with enemies. But when he got on the throne, he never lost his skills as a shepherd. Some of you men are elders in the church. You are shepherds. And some of you here tonight will someday soon, perhaps, as our elders get older and older, some of you who sit here tonight will be those who are shepherds in the church. And some of you young men who are here tonight will someday be shepherds, elders in the church. I beg of you, study the life of David, read it over and over and over again. until you take the heart of David, and the heart of David becomes your heart. Paul said it, did he not? Be ye imitators of me, like I imitate Christ. Be imitators of David the shepherd, like he was an imitator of the Lord is my shepherd. And still waters and green pastures, the anointing of others individuals with oil and praise, the rod and the staff that is there for the protection of the sheep, walking with the individuals when they're going through the very valley of the shadows of death. Thank God that there are elders in the church who, whenever there's death, they're there for those members, those sheep who help them walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And thank God that there are people like David who understand the need for the tenderness of heart, that instead of driving enemies away, will bring them back. Let me ask you again. Had you rather stand before King Saul with that spear in his hand when David's across the room and three times he tries to kill David? Had you rather plead justice? Had you rather ask for mercy before King Saul? Or mercy before David? God help us to not overlook these 60 chapters in the Bible devoted to David. And now we come to that part of our service where we sing the invitation song to provide an opportunity for those who want to become children of God, who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and they've repented, they've made up their minds, changed their mind, I'm going to follow the Lord, to confess their faith in Jesus and to be baptized for the remission of their sins. You could do that tonight. You could come to the Lord tonight and make Him your shepherd. If as a sheep, as a member of the flock of God, you've wandered away, what a marvelous time to return to the fold. Whatever your need, won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing.